If your business needs a new application, then developers will have to write code, a lot of code. If an application needs to be modernized, then you'll need time, resources, and caffeine. If that sounds daunting, then you need Watson X Code Assistant, AI designed to multiply developer productivity so you can generate code quickly. Let's create a more modern foundation for business with Watson X Code Assistant. Learn more at ibm.com/codeassistant. IBM, let's create.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Welcome to Required Listening. I'm your host, Scott Goldman, Executive Director of the Grammy Museum. Each week in the Clive Davis Theater, I have the opportunity to speak to artists from across the musical spectrum about their careers, their struggles, their inspiration, and their creative process. Now, with Required Listening, I'm thrilled to share these remarkable interviews with you. On today's episode, my conversation with Grammy-winning Best New Artist Alessia Cara. The Canadian singer and songwriter began her journey by putting up unique covers on YouTube in 2011. Those clips ultimately helped land a major label recording contract. As a shy high school student, she started putting up the YouTube videos as a means to avoid having to actually perform in front of anyone. It's quite an arc going from performing covers in your bedroom by yourself to performing on the stage at the Glastonbury Festival in front of 50,000 people. She was wonderfully open and aware of where she is as a young songwriter and how much she has to learn as an artist. So let's go to the Clive Davis Theater and listen to my conversation with Alessia Cara.
So our guest tonight began uploading covers, and you know this, to YouTube long before she considered a career in music. She was spotted by a music company executive and encouraged to write her own material. And her first original song, Here, how many people know that song? Songs on her EP, Four Pink Walls, displayed a rare talent for creating compelling songs of depth and insight. She's here tonight following the release last year of her debut LP entitled Know It All. And an opening slot on Coldplay's 2016 World Tour. Give it up for Alessia Cara.
Hello. Hello. Got a mic and everything.
Hello. Thanks for being here. Hi.
Hi.
Hello. Thank you for having us.
Oh, but thank you for being here. Cupcakes and all.
I know. I just had one. I had to put it away because my hands are all, you know.
Well, you're going to be experiencing a sugar rush here.
I know.
Relatively
provide
soon.
A lot of energy. It's
yeah.
Good.
Yeah. So I talked in, I mentioned in the open, you just spent some time opening for Coldplay.
Yes.
That's sort of a different experience, given that
yeah.
you know, these are big venues. Those guys don't exactly play small clubs.
No,
anymore.
Not anymore.
So talk a little bit about the challenge of trying to fill up a big room like that.
Well, I mean, I'm a pretty small person. I would say, I mean, I'm like only 5'2", so it is kind of challenging to, you know, yeah, what? That's not funny. No, I'm kidding. Yeah, so I think it is kind of challenging to, like, you know, grasp the attention of thousands and thousands of people, especially because I had never done that before. And when you're an opening slot, that's even harder. Or when you have an opening slot, excuse me, that's a lot harder because, you know, oftentimes you just think, like, everyone's just like, all right, let's get to the real stuff. Like,
yeah, really.
Who is this person?
Yeah.
But you know what? Everyone was actually very receptive in a great way. And their whole audience, like every place we went to, like from Europe to the U.S., it seemed like everyone was, you know, fairly nice. And, you know, they really embraced us and the music. And it was really nice to see that. Mm-hmm. It was a mature audience, but Very nice. Yeah,
mature. I like the way you said that. Mature.
Mature.
Yeah, yeah. Read old.
Not true.
It's all right. I'm wondering if the boys in Coldplay gave you any advice. Did they give you any tips about playing a big venue?
Well, I mean, the first day I did tell them that I was nervous, and Chris Martin basically said the crowd always gives you what you give them. So if you give them all your energy and all your love and you try to connect with them as much as possible, then usually they'll give that back to you. So it's like a conversation, you know?
Yeah. You know, most times when you play bigger rooms, you know, artists are advised, you know, sing to the back of the hall, pick out somebody in the back of the room and, you know, kind of sing to them. Is that something that you tried to do? Did you have a strategy?
I mean, honestly, not really. I try, even though it's really hard for me to not be conscious of things, because every time I perform, I'm always thinking and being conscious of everything around me. But I think that the best way to do it is to really just kind of get lost in what you're singing and just really, like Chris said, just kind of give everything you have to the audience and just really try to, you know, put forth the message that you're trying to put out. So whether it was I was singing Scars or whatever song it was, just really try to get that out there so they can leave that room with something.
You said you're kind of aware of everything as you're performing. What are you aware of? What are you trying to focus on? Are you trying to focus on performance, pitch, song, emotion?
I mean, it's a bit of everything, honestly. I'm like everywhere, because of course part of me wants to make sure that I'm singing all the things right and all the lyrics right and getting the pitch right. But then another part of me wants to connect, and then another part of me is like noticing the cool shirt that the person's wearing on this side, and then it's like I'm just constantly thinking so much. I'm constantly always thinking, but I really try as much as possible to only think about what I'm putting out there and what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But of course it's hard sometimes because you want to give a good performance.
You played an iconic festival in the UK, Glastonbury.
Yes, yeah.
Which is maybe the Mac Daddy of all festivals. Yeah. tell us about that experience.
That was awesome. I mean, of course, that's like, you know, I'm sure many artists can say the same thing, that that's one of the goals for sure. And the UK is such a prestigious place, especially for music and stuff like that. So it was really awesome. And there were so many other great acts there. And it just felt really cool to be a part of that. And I was really shocked at the amount of people that actually came out and were singing along. And it was crazy. I had the Wellington boots on. Apparently,
nice.
I was supposed to
have
them.
Yeah, well, that's a big deal. Yeah. Because it gets muddy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Uh-huh. It was so muddy and rainy, but it was awesome.
Yeah, I couldn't have worn those. That would have been, I would have messed them up.
Well, I mean, so I did, definitely did. And they're taller than me too. They were like up to here. They looked like knee high or like thigh high boots on me.
So I've done a little, you know, kind of reading a little bit about your backstory, and it comes out kind of repeatedly that early on, certainly as you were, you know, perhaps learning how to play guitar and covering some songs, maybe in your bedroom, that you're kind of shy.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely was a lot more than I am now. I still sometimes am, but I mean, definitely growing up, it was a lot harder for me to, you know, share my ideas and be creative and even just sing in front of my own parents. Like I was very, very shy, and I protected that side of me a lot. And I'm not really sure why. I think maybe it was just the fear of not being good enough or failing, or just, you know, when something's that precious to you, it's always really scary to give it away and to just lay it out there. But I think I'm hopefully a lot better than I was. And I mean, I performed many places now, and I think it's a lot easier to do that because I've seen thankfully the positive reaction I've received, and so now I know that it's not that scary anymore. It's in fact a really great, powerful thing to be able to do that, so I'm lucky.
And I'm wondering though, what was it that possessed you to start putting covers up on YouTube, you know, especially given that you were, you know, kind of shy?
Yeah, well, you know, I think that's actually the reason why I did it, because I could not sing in front of a group of people in real life. And so I thought, you know, if this is a dream of mine, how am I going to overcome this fear of singing for an audience? So I thought the closest thing to singing for an audience was doing it in a way that I didn't have to actually be in front of them. And so I thought, YouTube, you know, use my resources as a millennial. I have this great thing called the internet that I could use.
I don't know what that is, but that's okay.
Yeah. But, you know, I think just at this day and age, we have all this great stuff, and we don't always have to be in front of an audience to get our voices out there. So I thought, this is a cool way to cheat my way into it. I don't have to sing in front of you, but you can still hear my voice, and I can be in the comfort of my own closet, because that's where I would record all my covers in my closet. Yeah.
Yeah. So, so you did get, you know, kind of discovered from a YouTube video. What was the song that seemed to have attracted the interest of this production company that ultimately contacted you?
It was actually this cover that I did of a song called Sweater Weather by The Neighborhood, this band called The Neighborhood. And I don't even remember how I heard it. I just really loved the song, and I didn't really think anything would become of it, honestly, of my cover. I mean, not of the song, of course. But I just decided to cover it one day. I loved it, and I learned how to play it on guitar. And at this point, I wasn't really getting many views on my videos, so I definitely didn't expect, you know, to make it out of the pool of millions of kids that are posting covers online every day. But yeah, this production company, label EP Entertainment, Rob, who's here today, this girl, actually, this A&R from this production company was, you know, surfing the web, finding talent, I guess, and she came across my video, and they took me in, took me under their wing, and they decided to just help me out, and here we are.
Yeah, well, I'll get to that. I want to get to that in a minute, but I'm wondering, you know, you're talking about Sweater Weather, and for some reason you like that song. What is it about a song that attracts you?
I don't know. I mean, I guess it's always different. I think I love, I'm a lyric person, so I love listening to lyrics first. And if the lyrics are, whether they're ambiguous to the point where you can kind of create your own meaning, or if they're really visual or just really great, clever lyrics, I'm a big lyric person. But then, of course, you know, you can't ever run away from a good earworm melody.
Yeah. So these guys get a hold of you, or girls, as the case may be.
Girls and guys, yeah.
Girls and guys. When they did you think it was legit?
Not really. I mean, at this point, I was only 16.
That's part of it. Yeah.
Yeah. And of course, when you're that, you know, I'm from Brampton, Ontario, Canada. No one even knows where that is. And like, if you're not from there, obviously. And, you know, when you get a tweet from a person you've never met before that just says, hey, like, I would like to get in contact with you to discuss like music. I forget what the exact thing was, but like to discuss like music or something like that. And I was like, okay, this could be spam, this could be someone that's trying to kidnap me, I don't know what's going on. So of course I did, you know, the safe thing to do, kids, and I told my dad, and I said, Dad, can you please just talk to
check
these
this
people?
Out
yeah check this out talk to these people. So I told them, I was like, okay, I'm gonna have my dad talk to you, but can you give us a number to contact, because I don't want to give away personal information. Again, smart thing to do, kids, don't give away personal information. Long story short, my dad just agreed to it for some reason. I don't know, because I never thought he would do that, but he did. And he got on the phone.
Whoa, back up here. Why did you think he would not do that?
Because I come from a traditional Italian family, and so doing music and doing that kind of thing, and in my family, straying away from the typical construction worker hairdresser thing is not really my family. Literally 90% of my family is hairdressers, and like the other 10% is construction. I'm not kidding. This is not like a stereotypical thing. Genuinely, from my family is like this. So, you know, when I said, hey, I want to, you know, not go to school and do music, that's not, you know, the thing that a typical Italian dad wants to hear. So I just didn't think that, you know, they'd be up for it. And he was down to at least take the call. And so we went to New York. We just picked up like a week later, went to New York, sang for these people that we had never met. And my dad gave them the lecture, like, don't waste our time. We're hardworking people. If you're serious, you're serious. But yeah, he gave them the lecture. But they were like, no, we're serious. We believe in her. We want you to, you know, we want to work with you. And they didn't tie us down to anything. They just kind of
I'm interested in this audition.
Yeah.
What did you sing for them?
What did I sing? I think I sang Mirrors by Justin Timberlake. I think. Huh. I'm pretty sure. Like, I don't know where Rob is. I'm sure he could tell you.
Like in a conference room somewhere?
Yeah. They took us to like this office. It was like an office in the Universal Building in New York. And I was like, okay, I'd never been to anything like that. And they just said, well, all right. You want to sing first?
this is the thing I love about the music business, and you hear this, you know, repeated often, and it's a classic story about young artists and producers or record labels bring them in, and they put them in the worst possible like setting. And it's like, okay, now impress us. Here you are sitting in some conference room with fluorescent lights and no sound.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, blow us away.
But you know what? I think the thing about that is if you can blow people away with just your voice, I think that's what makes you, I guess in their eyes, good enough, or not good enough. I don't want to say good enough, but that's what makes you special. And, you know, I think that's when people see when you really have something, is when you're able to, you know, whether it's move people or just impress people or just show people your talent without all the lights and the fancy mics and sounds and
Well, I think I also think about, and I'm sure you saw this film because I know this person is a hero to you, the film about Amy Winehouse.
Yes.
And there's a part there I recall where she's literally in an office or somewhere and she's just playing guitar and it's not the best setting in the world and you're just blown away by what this person is doing.
Yeah, it was amazing. And I've seen that movie so many times now. Uh-huh. It's true. Like when you're able to do that, I think that's why, one of the reasons why I look up to her so much and why I look up to the people I look up to in the music world, because they're able to do that without anything else. They could just sit there and just sing for you and still move you with no music, no anything. And that's something really special to be able to do that. Mm. And so that's what I've always strived for. And I think that just comes from honest passion and loving what you do and just really giving everything. And you could tell with her in particular, she always did that with every song she ever sang. It was always, she was really singing it, you know, she was never just like doing it.
What if AI could help your business deliver mission-critical outcomes with speed? With IBM Consulting, your business can design, build, and scale trusted AI using Watson X and modernize the way you work to accelerate real impact. Let's create AI that transforms your business. Learn more at ibm.com/consulting. IBM, let's create.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
You ever get that feeling like the concrete jungle's closing in? You crave wide open spaces, the chance to chase your own dinner, or just breathe clean air. Well, listen up. There's a whole world out there waiting, and finding your piece of it just got easier. Head over to land.com. They've got ranches, forests, mountains, you name it. Search by acreage, price, location. They've got it all. No matter what kind of wild dream you're chasing, land.com can help you find the ground to make it a reality. So quit dreaming. Head over to land.com, find your open space, and get out there.
So it comes to pass, you sign up with these guys and girls, and they ultimately set you up with Sebastian Cole.
Yes.
Did you have any sense of who that was when you like walked into the room with him?
No, I didn't. I went to one of his shows. He was playing at this, I think it was, a little club or a little bar, just to get a sense of what his music style was and who he was. And I was actually blown away by his performance. He was amazing. He played these amazing songs on piano. It was just an all acoustic piano performance. And so I already became like a fan. I was like, this is cool. He gets to teach me how to make songs and I get to work with him. So we met right after his performance and I was like, hey, sang for him. And I just said, I think, they're setting us up on a blind writing date. So, and he was like, yeah, let's do it.
So tell me about the blind writing date. How did that work? What did you say when you walked in?
Well, the first thing he said to me was, he took me outside of the studio and he's like, what's your story? And again, me being at this point 17, I was like, what is my story? I don't know. So I told him, I'm like, I don't know. I think I'm in the process of making that story. And he's like, cool. So then we came up, was literally it. And then so we went into the room, he sat at a piano, and I just started talking to him about that concept, about not being sure who you are yet and kind of creating your own story. And we came up with a song. It was called Only Human. That was the first song we ever made. And that's from that point on, that's how we started writing every single song. It was just me telling him something and we would just keep talking until a song was made.
You know, and he's been quoted as saying that at first, and maybe as time went on, this changed, but at first he had to get the songs out of you.
Yeah.
What did he mean by that?
Well, I guess, you know, touching back with how I was really shy, you know, you could imagine a young girl just kind of meeting a person for the first time and having to just share all of her thoughts and feelings and song ideas and creative ideas with this person I'd never met. And so, I mean, I wish I had talked a bit more now. Looking back, I just wish I opened up a bit more. But
In the process,
looking back now. But I mean, he definitely did have to like literally pull things out of me sometimes. Not literally. Why am I saying literally pull things? Nothing like that. But he had to like, he had to pull things out of me to like, you know, really
another,
get
another
good
caution
songs.
To young artists. Don't let producers
yeah,
pull
don't
things
let anyone
out of you.
Pull anything. Yeah, nothing
yeah.
out of
yeah,
you.
It's not a magic
no,
trick.
That's yeah, don't. You won't get any good songs out of that. Maybe a lawsuit, but no good songs. So, he had to, you know, like just get these songs out of me because I was so shy and I, you know, he would just be like, what'd you do today? Like nothing. And I just wouldn't say anything because I was so shy. So he would have to ask me questions, kind of like therapy for me to open up.
Got it.
But then by the end, I was good. And I mean, now it's like every time we talk, it's always like free. But
you're blabbing now.
Now I talk too much. Blabbing. You can tell by now. Yeah. See, I just.
You're pretty good at it. Actually.
Thank you. Yeah. I'm good at talking a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. Good Thanks. Talker. So I also read that as you're making this record, you were like sneaking off from school to go to these recording sessions.
Yes.
Not telling anybody.
Not telling anybody.
If it were me and I was your age, I would have been blabbing to everybody in creation that, I'm going off to make a record. And you didn't do that. Why?
I didn't. I didn't do that for a couple reasons. I think, you know, me, I think I was the type of student in high school. I just wanted to remain anonymous. I just wanted to get it over with, to be honest. And I knew, especially in my school, it was kind of a small school and word would get around. And I just didn't want to be known as that girl who was like the music freak who would go, you know, and record songs after school. Like, I just didn't want people to know that side. And also, I think, you know, again, I didn't know what was going to become of it. And I didn't want to just start saying like, hey, I'm going to make an album and get signed. And then nothing happened. So just a couple of different reasons. I just wanted to keep that side private.
Yeah. So I know you said Only Human was the first song you guys wrote. But Here was pretty early on. Am I right?
Yeah, it was like the fourth. Yeah, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. Third or fourth.
So tell me a little bit about that. What was Sebastian's reaction to that song?
So after we were finished, we were all just kind of like, this is pretty cool. And I think all of us were kind of feeling the same thing, but none of us wanted to be the one to say, like, we have the song. So we were all just like, this is good. We didn't want to say that. So I think we were all just like, this is good. And I was like, yeah, this is cool. But I think all of us were just kind of like, you know, and then every once in a while, we would, as we were making the album, he would kind of say to me, like, I don't think you know what's happening here. And I'm like, I think I know, but I don't know. But so it was always like an unspoken thing. But we all, I think, had that mutual feeling of like, we have something here. This is the one. Well, at least I felt that way.
Mm-hmm. Listening to your songs, particularly, you know, here, but others, there's this sense of alienation is a way it's been described. Is that something that you've experienced?
Yeah, actually, definitely. And I think a lot of it, weirdly enough, it kind of came from me, and I think I would do it to myself a lot of the time. I would separate myself from everyone in certain situations, and I would just often find myself alienated because of just me, I guess, removing myself from the world that was high school or the world that was school or with other people. And I don't know. I mean, of course it was inflicted by other people, but I definitely did a lot of that alienation to myself.
I mean, the song here, you know, has been called, and this is not my words, a loner anthem.
Yeah.
You know, which, I mean, that sounds kind of catchy to a certain degree, but I'm wondering, what do you think about that? When you hear, you know, someone, you know, a critic or otherwise, who sort of boiled down your hard work into this two-word catchphrase.
Loner anthem, yeah.
Loner anthem. What do you think?
I think that just comes from them having to put artists in a box. Mm. I think that's just what you do, you know, especially when you have a new artist. You're like, okay, where can we put her? We can't put her with the divas. Let's put her with the weird, awkward kids. Because it's so weird, because I feel like a lot of people in the industry, whether it's in the media or just in the industry itself, they have a hard time just saying that Alessia is just Alessia and she doesn't have to be in a box. She can be in the category of Alessia and this person can be in that category. Mm-hmm. Like, people don't, they have a very hard time processing what that means. And so because of this, they just have like three or four boxes and they just put everyone in this space, and that's what it is. But I mean, I guess if you look at it in a positive way, I guess, you know, if it is helping all the people who feel like loners, then I'm a loner. I wrote a loner anthem.
I'm good. Smashing. Moving on.
We're all loners. Yeah. You know what I mean? You got to look at it in a positive way. Yeah. But I think that just comes from them not knowing where to put me, which is weird. But
I mean, were you at all concerned that it kind of paints a one-sided picture of you? That I mean, you are, you know, as an artist, much more than a loner anthem.
Yeah. Sometimes you just wish, you know, maybe they would have used a different word, or maybe you just wish they didn't have to describe it at all. Like, here's a song. Interpret it how you will. But again, people have a very hard time just processing that. They need to see something quick so they know where to put it in their brains. And I'm cool with that. I was a bit of a loner anyway, so it's fine.
So in the song, you describe yourself as an antisocial pessimist.
Yes.
But now, I mean, if you kind of consider what's, you know, what's been going on with your career, things are moving along, I'd say, fairly nicely.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if you've become a little more optimistic.
Definitely, yeah. I think, you know, you realize that many things are possible through doing this and having the blessings that I've had. But I think that phrase, in the context of the song, I'm kind of just basically saying, like, I'm sorry if I seem like one right now, but I'm not. I'm just really uncomfortable is basically what I'm saying. So I don't really think I was ever an antisocial pessimist. I just think I'm saying that in the song, like, I'm sorry if I seem like one right now.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the song does set up a, you know, a very real-life situation that many people, I'm sure, have experienced. Talk about, is that important to you in terms of writing songs that are relatable to your audience?
I mean, when we were making the album, because I had never really released any music at this point, I didn't really know how quick people relate to things. And so I wasn't really conscious of it. I just knew that I wanted to make music that was honest to me. But then I realized pretty quickly after releasing, even just here, how, you know, if you make something that's honest to you, it's bound to relate to somebody, because we all, whether we realize it or not, we all live very similar stories, and we all have similar struggles or similar things we deal with. So feelings and honest feelings are very much universal ones. And so as much as I'm conscious of making things relatable now, I know that they're bound to be relatable when they're honest and when they're real. Mm. You know, they become non-relatable or unrelatable when you're making stuff up and, you know, trying to seem a lot cooler than you actually are.
Yeah. And so, you know, Here was about maybe not necessarily belonging. And then there's a track, Wild Things, that seems to almost be the opposite.
Yeah, like the continuation.
That
was the intention.
You know, part B or, you know, whatever. So that was intentional on your part to kind of paint the other side of the coin.
Yeah. You know, because I think Here was basically saying, like, you know, I don't really belong here. And then Wild Things was saying, but I don't have to belong anywhere, and this is where I belong. It's in a place in the back of my mind that I created, and it's cool, and I love it here. And I just, you know, the title is Where the Wild Things Are. But that's just the place that, you know, that non-existent place in our subconscious that I just thought should have a name. But that's where I think we all kind of go to when we feel like we're uncomfortable in certain places, or when we feel like we don't belong. We should just know that we can all create this special safe place within ourselves that we can feel comfortable in. And that doesn't necessarily have to be with other people. It doesn't have to be a real place that actually exists, because it exists as long as we believe it does.
Yeah. There's another track on the record, and this I was very interested in, Scars to Your Body.
To Your Beautiful,
To Your Beautiful. Sorry, my bad. Scars to Your Beautiful. I have it written down here, and I mispronounced.
That's all good. I've heard so many titles.
But very much about, you know, body image and perception of women.
Yes.
And why was it important for you to write about that?
I think, you know, especially nowadays, girls have been dealing with this all the time, but since forever. But I think nowadays, especially with the media and with all these new standards that have been placed on us, girls are coming to the point where a lot of us can't even look in the mirror some days or any day without feeling like we need to look like someone else or look like something else. And we just, you know, I know personally for me, and I know a lot of us, no matter how confident we all are, we can't even like look at pictures of ourselves or, you know, go outside without just being so conscious of how we look all the time and just saying, I wish I looked like this person, or I hate this about myself, I hate that. And it's so bad. And I think it just comes from us being brainwashed and being just told this on a daily basis, that we have to squeeze ourselves into this unrealistic mold. And if we don't, then we're just not beautiful, and we're just categorized as, you know, average or not good enough or whatever it is. And I think that's really sad. And I think we should all have the right to feel 100% beautiful and 100% confident without pleasing anybody, because we're not here for anybody else. We're here for ourselves. And I think so many women, or all women, are way greater than how we look. And we're capable of so much more than that. And that's what this song is about. And of course, men, I'm sure, can relate to it as well. But it's just for anybody who doesn't feel, I know, I'm sure some of you guys want to be buff and cool, and some of you think you're not, but you don't have to be. It's cool. Yeah, so I just wanted, thank you. But yeah.
I'm feeling better about myself now.
Because I said you don't have to be. Yeah.
There's this whole kind of thematic idea of conscious pop music.
Yeah.
You know, making pop music, you know, legit pop music, but with, you know, some gravitas to it. That important to you, kind of, to make songs that have some weight, that have a message?
Yeah. You know, if I'm given a platform to say something, I might as well say something that is important and that's worth saying. I would never want to waste the blessing that I've been given to just like say something that doesn't make any sense or that's not true to me. And I'm not saying that I'm going to be making preachy songs for the rest of my life, and I'm not always going to make a statement. Sometimes I'll just make songs about what I'm feeling, but as long as they're honest to me and as long as I feel like I'm putting out a good message and making people feel like they're not alone, then I'm doing my job properly. And I guess there is no proper way to do it, but the way that I would feel most fulfilled is if I'm speaking for people who don't always have a voice, because a lot of us don't. And so if I have a voice, and if someone up there or whoever decided to give me a voice, I might as well use it for other people as well.
Yeah.
Before AI can help your business predict demand, accelerate growth, inform decisions, automate tasks, reveal insights, generate content, you have to trust it. Introducing Watson X Governance, helping you govern any AI as data, models, and policies change so you can scale it responsibly. Let's create AI that begins with trust with Watson X Governance. Learn more at ibm.com/governance. IBM, let's create.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer? Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
You ever get that feeling like the concrete jungle's closing in? You crave wide open spaces, the chance to chase your own dinner, or just breathe clean air. Well, listen up. There's a whole world out there waiting, and finding your piece of it just got easier. Head over to land.com. They've got ranches, forests, mountains, you name it. Search by acreage, price, location. They've got it all. No matter what kind of wild dream you're chasing, land.com can help you find the ground to make it a reality. So quit dreaming. Head over to land.com, find your open space, and get out there.
So we were talking upstairs briefly. I asked you if you had, you know, started thinking about record number two.
Yeah.
And don't take this the wrong way. So you wrote record number one. You know, basically it was written by someone who had not at that point been touched by celebrity, let's say.
Yeah, true.
Now, you know, here you are X number of months or a year later, and you're thinking about writing record number two, and a lot of things have changed in your life. And I'm wondering, is it going to be different for you to sit down and try and make a record now that you've had this experience?
I think, yeah, it's going to be, I think it'll be pretty different, you know, because in this space of a year and a half, I've sort of been feeling things that I've never felt before. And I don't even know, in like, again, I think I find myself doing the thing that the people do, is like, what box do I put this in? What feeling do I put this in? And I'm having kind of an interesting time putting those feelings into words and figuring out what it is that I'm feeling and how I can describe it. This industry kind of forces you to grow up very quickly, and I've had to become very responsible, and it's challenging. I think, you know, it's the same person that was from album one that's put in a completely different situation. So tons of new feelings are going to rise from that. So it's kind of an interesting sort of thing creatively to figure out how to not only keep it relatable, because, you know, not everyone gets to experience this. So how can I just make an album talking about, you know, doing this for a living? Like, it's not. So I think, again, because I still feel like I'm very much the same person that was just placed in a different situation, people are bound to relate to it, because we all sometimes feel isolated. We all sometimes feel scared or excited, of course, happy, and very normal feelings are coming out of my abnormal situation. I'm just figuring out how to say them and how to turn them into music.
Yeah, you've had the chance, obviously, to work, you know, with people like Sebastian Cole. Mm. You've had the chance to watch people like Chris Martin kind of do what they do. And I'm wondering what you've learned in the process.
I've learned so many things, honestly, whether it was just, you know, how to make a song, and, you know, just as early as Sebastian, like, just watching him not only, of course, work on my stuff with me, but work on his own stuff. And he's just so talented. And so that side of things, he just helped me figure out, just through watching him, I just absorbed so much, and he taught me how to make songs. And then, of course, watching people like Chris Martin, just seeing how to take those songs and throw them at the audience and connect with them and make, you know, every single person in that giant stadium feel like they're the only one there. Just, I think through observing, I've learned so much about what it means to be a creator and what it means to take those creations and put them out into the world, and doing it in the right way so that people can really just feel like you're with them and that they're with you, you know? Mm-hmm. So I'm just really lucky that I get to sit back and watch all these people and like absorb. And I'm so young, so I have a lot of room to, of course, make mistakes, but I also have a lot of room to learn. So very lucky.
So fair warning, we're going to ask for a couple of questions from the house here in just a minute. But we talked earlier about Amy Winehouse.
Yes.
And her kind of influence on you. What was it about her that moved you?
So many different things, honestly. Again, going back to what I said about her just being able to sit there and move people with just her voice or with her guitar. And I think another thing I loved about her, or still love about her, excuse me, is that she was just so unapologetically herself and real, and no matter what she said. And if you listen to her songs, all of them are like very unfiltered, very real. And a lot of them she talks about, you know, doing things like cheating and her being at fault. But she wasn't afraid to fail, and she wasn't afraid to admit when she was being human. And I think that's something that is not always around or not always present, especially in the music industry or in the media entertainment side of things. And so it's just really refreshing to have artists like her who just really said it how it was and was unafraid and unapologetically herself.
What other artists have moved you?
I was really big on, still I'm really big on, like Lauryn Hill, the Fugees, the Black Eyed Peas. Who else? Pink. I really love Rihanna, because if you look at Rihanna, she's amazing. She just, like, again, so unapologetically herself. She doesn't care. She is who she is, and she kills it, and it's awesome. So it's really nice to see competent women just doing what they do.
Yeah. And you say that, and we talked a little bit about, you know, putting out positive messages. And I'm wondering, even at a young age, do you see yourself as a role model?
I mean, I don't necessarily see myself as one, because I'm, you know, probably a lot younger than a lot of the people who listen to my music anyway. So if anything, they could probably teach me about life. But, you know, at the same time, if people see me as a role model, and if people see me as someone that they connect to, and that someone who can help give them advice through my music, then, I mean, it's on you if you want to take it or not. I'm not saying I'm right. I'm just saying this is what I think I've learned in these 20 years of living. And if you think that it's right, and if you think it's helped you, then I'm happy to be a role model, I guess.
You got to perform, spend a little time perhaps with Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
And, you know, she has a remarkable relationship with her fans and her audience, built up over years. But she really does have this kind of unique relationship with a, you know, very large kind of worldwide audience. Is that something you aspire to, is kind of building that ongoing relationship with fans?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the reason why her fans have stayed with her all this time, again, is because she's one of those people who just put out honest music. And people don't ever forget that. And people don't ever lose that connection once you make it with them. And she's always been so, so great at just being honest and real with her fans and with her music. And if that's something I can do, that would be awesome. Because I'd rather have fans for that reason and for the right reasons than just because I have a catchy song or I wear cool clothes or whatever. Because I definitely don't. These are like really old.
You made a very difficult decision, you were at a fork in the road. It's like music, college. And you decided to go with music.
A scary road, yeah.
Yeah. Which you actually said was kind of, you went with your gut.
Yeah, for me it wasn't scary. Not that it wasn't scary, it was easy for me to say, this is what I want to do.
Yeah. I'm wondering if you, have you made other gut level decisions, you know, since then, where maybe it wasn't necessarily the would have been considered the right way to go, but you went with your gut.
Yeah, all the time, pretty much. I mean, because if you make decisions with your brain, it might fail you. If you make decisions with your heart, it might fail you. But if you make decisions with your gut, I don't think it ever fails you. If you really know deep down what the right thing is. And I mean, sometimes it's not about like predicting the future. It's just about what feels right for you and what you know is going to make you the most comfortable.
Yeah.
So every decision I make, even if it's a small one or something as big as like what single should I put out or what should go on the album or what album should I put out, or, you know, I think it's always important to go with your gut. So honestly, every decision I made from all the singles I put out, everything I put on the album, everything has just always been just what feels right in my gut.
Yeah. So we'd like to take a question or two from the assembled throng here. Yes, right here.
So you're playing for Jingle Ball on December 2nd.
Yes. Yeah.
Ball, December 2nd.
Jingle Ball, yes. Yeah. The question was, are you excited to see any other artists? Absolutely, yeah. I got to do Jingle Ball last year, and I got to see all these other artists play like almost every day, so I would go out and just watch them. It was cool. It's like you're touring. You literally are touring with a bunch of other people, and a lot of the artists this year are some of my favorites, so I'm excited to see.
Who? Like, name one.
There are a bunch. Like, okay, who? I'm into Tovlo, I'm into Ariana Grande, I'm into Justin Bieber.
Uh-huh.
Everyone that's, I think Bruno Mars is also playing a couple and he's like incredible. I'm into Bruno Mars. Everyone that's honestly playing is really great right now. So
yes, right here.
Going back to like how you see yourself as a role model, like with Scarf being your new single and stuff like that, like obviously a lot more like women and girls look up to you, but like how do you manage to like stay so humble? Like, and how do you like kind of stray away from not getting that mentality of
like
being
smart. Oh, thank you. So the question for those who didn't hear, can you guys all hear?
How do you maintain kind of your even keel?
I think for me, I mean, of course, the one thing I know, as cliche as it sounds, keep the right people around you 100%, because it's so important in this world of music. But also for me, I honestly have never been interested in fame or that side of things. I actually get scared of it. I don't enjoy the attention when it's not on the music. And so I try to just stray away from it as much as possible. And it's just easy for me to not get a big head about it because it's not something that I want. So I'm just like, no, just only on the music, please. Like, nothing about, you know what I mean? So I'm always like staying away from that stuff.
In the back. Working with Troye Sivan, who, by the way,
amazing.
We've had here.
He's amazing. I know. I heard. He's so awesome. I love him. It was amazing. He is one of my favorite artists. And the song Wild, the one that I fortunately got to be on, which is amazing. That's one of my favorite songs off his album. And I made that very clear to him a million times. And so he just texted me one day and he's like, if I send you the instrumental, do you want to like write a verse for it and be on it? I was like, yeah. So I did. It was okay. The easiest decision I ever made.
So we got time for one more. Yes, sir, right there.
So I just wanted to ask, what's the jewel of your record? Like, what's the one song that you're really proud of writing and making that really kind of just touched you, but also you're really proud of to kind of put out, to, you know, for everyone else to hear that song actually touched people's lives?
The one that stands out.
The one that stands out, very good shortening.
It's my job.
Good question. I think for me, I mean, I'm proud of all the songs, but I think for me, the one that's always kind of close to my heart for a couple reasons is Four Pink Walls. First of all, because it was the first song that I ever really wrote by myself completely without anyone. And that was really important for me to do, because again, just coming from someone who's never made music to, you know, learning from Sebastian and just seeing him work and stuff, I just really wanted to be like, okay, I'm going to try this on my own. And I did. And it was on the album, and I was really proud of it. And I think also what I'm talking about, I'm basically talking about, you know, starting off life in my four pink bedroom walls, staring at those same walls and aspiring, you know, to do all these things and aspiring to be all these different things, and just having that doubt in the back of my mind that I wasn't going to be able to do it. And so now the fact that I am doing it, there's such a big contrast between my life then and now. And that's what the song is about. It's about that feeling of wanting to know outside of, or explore outside of what you're used to. So I'm just proud of being able to make that song, because it shows that I've come a long way. And again, because I wrote it all by myself.
So last question. So speaking of Four Pink Walls, there's a song on there, and there's a line that says, I thought the only place for my dreams was in my dreams.
Yeah.
And now, as you look at what's happened to you, when you think about that line, how do you feel?
It's crazy. I do. I mean, I'm stealing a line from my dad, because he always says that he has this famous line where it's like, it feels like a dream. I'm still waiting to wake up. So that's like, it really just still feels like I'm in that dream. It's very, you know, and I guess it's weird to imagine or to think about the fact that I'm really living this stuff, because I've lived all of this stuff in my head so many times growing up. Like, I've been here before. I know how this works in my brain because I've imagined it so many times. So it's crazy to think that this time it's actually really happening to me. It's hard to differentiate. Can't say that word.
Differentiate
between the reality and what was just in my head. So it's crazy that I'm actually living it. It's very surreal.
Well, it isn't surreal for us that you actually came and hung out for a while. We're so pleased
that you
took the time.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, Alessia Cara.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Following our talk, Alessia won Best New Artist at the 60th Annual Grammy Awards. In her acceptance speech, she talked about the need to provide greater opportunities for aspiring musicians to be heard and supported. I don't think it's often that you hear a young artist discussing a desire to write conscious pop music and not waste anyone's time. And that's your required listening for today. We're coming to you with fresh episodes every Thursday. Keep the conversation going. We're on all the socials at Grammy Museum. If you're coming to Los Angeles, I hope you'll visit us. All the info is at our website, GrammyMuseum.org. Finally, thanks to the team that brings you required listening: Jason James, Justin Joseph, Jim Canella, Lynn Sheridan, Miranda Moore, Kelly Weissman, Len Brown, Michael Rohrbacher, Jason Hoke, Chandler Mays, Nick Stumpf, and everyone at How Stuff Works. Until next time, I'm Scott Goldman.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
You ever get the feeling the city walls closing in, the concrete jungle suffocating your soul? You crave wide open spaces, the chance to connect with nature, maybe chase some elk, fish a private stream. Well, listen up. There's a whole world out there, and finding your own piece of it just got easier. Head over to land.com. They've got ranches, forest, mountains, you name it. Search by acreage, location, the kind of hunting or fishing you dream of. Land.com. It's where the adventure begins.
Your new home journey starts at Fisher Homes, where everything is red, white, and new. Explore exclusive summer savings and start your journey by selecting your ideal home site and your dream community. Choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans and bring your style to life at the Lifestyle Design Center. Are you looking for a quick move-in ready home instead? Fisher Homes has options for those too. Fill out a form to connect with a new home advisor at fisherhomes.com to get started today before the sun sets on summer savings.